Well, Steve, I suppose I ought to say, on behalf of all Palace supporters, thanks for saving the club. It's obviously been a very difficult few weeks. Did you ever doubt that this day might not arrive?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of times where I thought it probably wouldn't happen. But deep down, I suppose, you always think that you're going to get it done, because clubs like Palace just, you know, shouldn't really die. And, it didn't seem like there was anybody else at the time that was going to do it. So, yeah, certainly some dark moments where we didn't think it was, but, you know, deep down probably thought we always would.
And how long have you actually been a Palace supporter then, Steve?
Since I was four, so 40 years. And before I was four, I didn't have a, you know, what's the word? I wasn't cognizant enough to be anything, a football fan.
Possibly
or not.
Not.
So we could argue 44, 45 years. My father wasn't, you know, he's not really a massive fan, although he is now. He comes regularly with me now. So I didn't have that normal heritage, you know, handed down. I love football. I asked him one day, who do I support? He said, it's Palace or Millwall. Palace had a better kit, so that was that. I support Palace.
You and your colleagues have taken over the club, but obviously you're all successful businessmen in your own right, and you have your businesses to run. So who are you going to get to run the club on a day-to-day basis?
Phil Alexander will run the club day-to-day. And Phil Alexander's been a great servant to this club for 15 years. He knows it inside out. So I've got absolute faith and trust in Phil. And we have a great working relationship already. So Phil will run the club, and you know, he comes up to my offices already regularly, so we can discuss things. I can fit that in around my day. You know, there's no need for me to come physically here that often, you know, on a lot of decisions. But you know, day to day decisions, Harry Janney, who's our finance director and finance controller, and Phil will run the club. You know, and we're very happy that they do that.
And you've brought in George Burley as your manager.
Yeah,
you must be quite happy with that appointment.
We're thrilled with George. You know, George was. You know, having seen the people we saw, George was our first choice. Very, very, very pleased to have him. You know, probably bigger name than we thought maybe we'd be able to attract, you know. But George was very keen to come here. He's very keen to take up the challenge. We're very pleased that he's here. Really pleased that Doogie and him can work together, because I think that gives the fans, you know, somebody with experience and somebody who's got the heritage of the club. And Doogie really has been first class. I mean, through the whole thing, he's stayed. He's managed the training ground for us. You know, he's kept things together through administration, kept players as informed as he possibly could, and him and George seem to have a good relationship. So we think it's a really good team to have, you know, as our first appointment.
And with all the expense, of course, of buying the club and the stadium, what sort of budget are you able to give George for the coming season?
But the budget for the coming season will be the same as last season. So you know, there's absolutely no reason, you know, why we can't be as competitive as we were last season. You know, and that was the only problems with that for George are a few players out of contract that have unfortunately signed for other clubs.
Are these what pre-contract agreements?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we know that, you know, they've made it clear to us. We've offered certain players contracts. We've, you know, in some cases we've matched their terms, but they feel they want a new challenge. I think it's a question of. Unfortunately, you know, if you were in possession of the football club and there were players coming out of contract come January, February, you'd be offering them something new, and they'd probably welcome the security of that, you know, and they take it. If it goes, it drags out, they've got uncertainty about their life all the way through to the end of the season, you know, and somebody comes along and says, look, I'll definitely give you a 2-year contract, and they don't even know if the football club's going to exist. Mm. By the time we come along, really it's too late, you know, that's the problem. And I don't think any of Crystal Palace fans should do anything other than thank those players that do go for their extreme loyalty through very difficult times. You know, they've been great loyal servants to the club. You know, all of the people that might be in that situation. And, you know, I think we've got to wish them all the best, really. And I hope they get a good cheer when they come over, because they've done a fantastic job this season.
So the days of big transfer fees are probably gone for Crystal Palace, but George will be able to bring in replacements for those players that leave then.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know yourself, you know, there's players out of contract, so you know, effectively you're paying a transfer fee and a salary, because, you know, you pay a bit more in a salary. if some players do go on transfers, you know, that money will be available. So, you know, there's one or two deals that everybody knows about that floating around. We want to keep those players, but if they go, then, you know, they'll go for the right money. We don't need to sell anybody. They'll go for the right money, and that money will be available to George and us to sit and see what the best use for it. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, if we get £1 million, we'll spend £1 million on a player. We'll look at what the best way to use that for the football club is, and clearly the first team come first. You know, that's where you've got to make sure that's right, you know. But do I think necessarily that there haven't been many big money signings. You know, if you look at the money that's really been spent on you know, the million plus pound players, then you've got a question whether we've ever really got a benefit out of that. I don't, you know, I can't name many million pound plus players that have come to Crystal Palace that have really, you know, been a success for us. They might have gone on and been okay, but it doesn't work for us, you know, and I think we've got to look at that. You know, most of our good acquisitions have come, you know, probably through the academy, through the lower leagues, through maybe rehabilitating players that have, you know, have had a difficult time elsewhere. You know, but obviously, look, if it's the right player, what we want is, if we're going to spend big money on a player at some point, I want that player diligenced, right? I want to know. You know, there's a great story, I don't know if it's true, that Wenger and Arsenal saw Perez 46 times or something before they paid 16 million for him, or 17 million now. 17 million then to Arsenal would be equivalent to what one and a half million to us is. So the thought that this football club has ever bought players for £1 million, £1.5 million that they've seen once or twice or heard about from somebody is a decent player is ridiculous to me. You know, I want to know that if we're going to spend that kind of money on a football player, that we're going to get value for money.
And what about your plans here at Selhurst Park for the stadium?
Well, in an ideal world, I think you'd find a site that was more conducive, you know, and you'd try and build a new stadium. That doesn't mean it's impossible to build a new stadium here, and it's going to be very difficult to find a new site. So I think what we're going to do is probably spend the next 6 months to a year exhausting the options of moving away. and for us, everything's back in the equation, you know, that's previously been on the table. I want to revisit absolutely everything, you know, that anybody's ever talked about before. And talk to the fans as well about other possibilities, and then, you know, make a decision. And if we're going to stay here, then I think, as I said before, the minimum requirement for me is a new main stand. Whether that main stand is here or on the site of the Arthur Waite, I don't know. I think it's more practical to put it where the main stand sits now. But there are some issues with the, you know, there's housing quite close and all that kind of stuff. So, but that's the minimum requirement for me. You know, I'd like to, when we've finished at this club, I'd like there to be a much better infrastructure for the next people so that they can take the club even further forward than we can.
I think the Palace fans would love to move into a new stadium, but as you say, that's always been very difficult with getting planning permission with the council. In fact, anywhere within the M25, it is particularly difficult, isn't it?
Really hard, you know. I mean, it's not, you know, people don't wake up in the morning and think, I want a football stadium on my doorstep. You know, I mean, it's tough, you know, but there are certain possibilities, and we need to exhaust them, even if they're 5%. You know, we wouldn't want to start developing here and then somebody says, oh, you could have built down there, you know. So we've got to look at that, and you know, we've got to examine where would the fans tolerate us being, you know, where would our customers tolerate us going to if maybe we could go a little bit further away than where we are. You know, I'm not suggesting that or advocating it, I don't know, but we've got to have the forums, have the conversations, examine what's there, put it in front of people, get their point of view, exhaust all that, and then if really it's about staying here, then we've got to look at what the best things to do here are.
It's often been said in the press that you are kind of reluctant purchasers, the bit of last resort, if you like. You don't seem particularly reluctant to me. You're obviously very keen on this venture.
I would rather have not done it, honestly. You know, to be perfectly honest, I'd rather somebody else came along. You know, we all want, as fans, somebody with ridiculously deep pockets who's prepared to put loads of money into the club, you know, and so we can catch up with kind of probably where we've been in the past. But, you know, once you're doing something, you know, you've got to do it to the best of your ability. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say to fans, well, I don't really want to do it, you know, and I'm miserable now I'm here, you know. We do the best job we can. While we're looking after the club, we do the best job we can. And if somebody comes along in a week or a month or 10 years or 5 years and can do a better job, they'll get the football club. You know, there's, make no mistake, you know, we're not going to stand in the way of anybody. I tried to get somebody else to buy this football club. You know, I did my absolute best. In the end, the best thing I could do was put together a group of people that were prepared to get involved and do it, you know. But this is, you know, I'm worried about the kind of this aspect of it. You know, I don't really want to do this, you know, the kind of public side of it. I think the football club really needs to be a lot lower key, personally, in that regard. So there are things I've got trepidation, but while I'm here, I'm going to do the best job I can, you know, and try and move the thing forward. And when we've gone, you know, I want to look round and go, right, it's in a good, it's in a better state than it was when we left, when we came here, you know. And that's not to say it's in a terrible state now, you know. Simon's invested in a great academy. You know, the money that Simon's put in the club, some of it's still sloshing around in there, you know, in playing squad and all those kind of things. So, you know, we've got to build on that. We've got to take that balance sheet and build on it and work quietly in the background. Let the football people do the work. Let the manager be the star. And really just do our best to make sure that we don't get the situation we got in before.
And what are your expectations for the coming season then, Steve?
I think we should win the league by about 10 points.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
I think playoffs, anyone can get into. We proved that when we were third from bottom. Blackpool proved it last year. They won it. We've gone up via the playoffs before when we weren't spending the most money. You know, in sport, you know, you need to do all the right things, and then you need a bit of luck as well. So you never know. We bring in the right couple of players. You know, George gels with the squad really quickly. Who knows? We could get in a playoff spot. Realistically, mid-table and a bit of excitement along the way. And first season, I think that'd be job done. You know, what we don't want is to be down the bottom of the table.
And finally, Steve, a message for the fans. You seem to have taken in a lot of what they've been saying over the last few weeks.
Come and support the club, you know. I mean, if you want your club to survive, come and support the club, you know. All we are supporters of the club, you know. I've just bought basically a really, really expensive season ticket. So, and so have the guys. So it would be really good if everybody could come and support the club. You know, when the ground's full, there's a fantastic atmosphere in this ground. It's a proper football stadium. That's the one thing I'd say about it. You know, like a lot of the new stadiums, you don't maybe get the atmosphere. You know, the old wooden parts of the stand and the sound reverberates off of it. And that makes us more competitive and we'll invest, you know, that money in the club. So buy a season ticket. You know, come and support the club. If you haven't been for a few years, give it a chance. Let's see if we can't put on a product that makes you want to come again.
Steve, thanks very much.
Pleasure.